Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Right, my minions, you have stumbled upon the number one internet sports talk station in the world. The Balance on the Balance Radio Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am none other than El Presidente. So glad that you guys could join us on a Saturday morning. We've got a great show for you today. It is the Saturday before Thanksgiving, hence makes it our Thanksgiving show. And we've got a great, great show planned for you. I tell you what, coming up here in just a few moments, as always, the guys from Radio Speed Talk join us to talk about everything racing. And yes, we're going to talk about WWE NASCAR style. That's right. Clint Boyer, Jeff Gordon getting into it. And the teams. It's like an all-out baseball brawl or hockey fight. I don't know, but it was something else. We'll talk about what led up to that. Also, we've got a very special guest, one of the great, great friends of the show, and is going to talk with us about, well, the NASCAR, WWE, what's going on in Miami. We've got, that's right, none other than Walter Cox from ESPN, pit reporter out there, and he's going to join myself and Kenny, and we're going to break down. Well, we're down to the last of the last. And as they say, BK, have it your way. So we'll see if Mr. Brad can pull it off. We'll talk about his chances of winning the NASCAR championship. So we'll talk about that. Also, coming up out on college football Saturday, Pete LaFuchsia and Evan Williams join us. We're going to break down, going to get a preview for next week's game, which will be up there in West Lafayette for the old Oak and Bucket, Purdue and IU. That's right. It doesn't get any better than that. We're going to talk a little bit about IU basketball. What's going on with those guys? A little bit later on, we got Jeff Kurtz from Blair Claws. We're going to talk a little Chicago Bears, Chicago Bulls, and we're going to talk, of course, the Colts being at 6-3 this week, going into Gillette Stadium. That's right, enemy territory, baby. That's right, Andrew Luck going in, Tom Brady and Luck. What a matchup that's going to be for sure. $2 bill Josh is going to call in and chime in on the Pacers. Great win last night against the Mavericks. Way to go, Pacers. Biggest win of the season. Finally good to see a win from the Indiana Pacers. And for those of you, we're a national show, so, you know, we got love for everybody. But we're right here in the backyard is Indianapolis, and we always support our home team because that's what fans do. And, of course, wrapping up the show today is going to be Fantasy Football Huddle. Myself, Sparky, $2 bill Josh, and whoever else that you never know who's going to call in during the Fantasy Football Huddle. But it's a sad, sad day here at the Balance Studios. There's been a couple really, really bad things happen here. And I thought, well, we need to take some time to just pay homage and respect in a moment of silence. We lost T-Bow last Saturday morning after the show. As you know, he was struggling. He gave up his fight. We did give him a proper burial at sea. Our mascot slash goldfish that we happened to pick up at the state fair over the summer. And he became the Balance Radio Studio mascot. Sit right here in the studio right next to me every day, every Saturday, and help me do the show. There was some tears shed, but he's in a better place right now. He's in a better place. Also, we've got to say goodbye. This is tragic. I mean, the tragedy here, I it's all I can do to hold it together. Twinkies are saying goodbye. Twinkies, Hostess, No more ding-dongs. No more of that. And we're going to get into some conversations about that. What are your memories about Twinkies? Wow, now there's a Thanksgiving food for you for sure. You know what, though? It does go to – and again, this is a sports show. We're not going to get into all the political ramifications of said company going under. But a union put a company like Twinkies under. Well, all I can say, if you've ever had a reason to not like unions, well, that would be one of them. They put Twinkies under. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to get back, and we're going to talk some WWE NASCAR style with the boys from over at Radio Speed Talk. Mr. Kenny Barr joining us in a few moments. That's right, Walter Cox from ESPN. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
All right, my friends, welcome back to The Balance. That's right, my friends. It is Thanksgiving special here on The Balance, and you cannot, you know, that's an annual tradition here on The Balance every year. We got to play the famous radio bit from WKRP. I swear, God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. And those of you that have been around radio, we know a lot of people. I think all of us know some people in radio that all my friends in radio know somebody of a likeness of WKRP. Well, not quite like WKRP, but just, you know, some of the top race car voices around are joining us. Mr. Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful this morning. How you doing, El President?
I'm doing good. And also Mr. Walter Cox from ESPN is joining us. Walter, welcome back to The Balance, sir.
Good morning, Tom. I want to tell all the minions out there how great it is sitting in queue. Man, the snacks are awesome in here.
Do you have any Twinkies?
We found some at an event last night, but I'm holding them. I'm going to sell them on eBay.
Hey, man, I tell you what, those things are going to be collector's items. We need to put them in a time capsule or something. Because ever wonder, they say two things can survive a nuclear bomb, a cockroach and a Twinkie. So I
believe that. The preservatives in that thing. You wouldn't have to put it in nothing. Just set it on your counter. It'll be fine.
Absolutely. Mr. Kenny Barr, what are your thoughts for losing Twinkies? It's bad, bad for us.
Man, I quit eating them when I heard about the cockroaches and Twinkies thing and the nuclear holocaust. It scared me. I don't want to listen to it.
Well, I tell you what, we want to get right into it, guys, because we've got a great show planned for you. We want to talk about this WWE event out in Phoenix with Jeff Gordon and Clint Boyer. Now, I know, and I'm going to let you introduce him here, but Walter, I know you also have a guest with you. His name is Jake Blau.
Yes, Blau.
Why don't you tell us about your guest there, sir?
Yes, sir. As you know, we was down in the middle of it in Phoenix, and my cameraman, we was out on pit road. Clint Boyer gets out of his car, and my cameraman's on top of his game all the time. So he sees him, and Clint takes off running, so he takes off running. But now you got to understand, it's not only just a cameraman. There's a cord connecting to a pole that another guy is carrying, and that's what shoots the signal from the camera up to the compound. So it's two guys running in tandem, trying to keep up with Clint without falling down and getting the shot, taking one for the team. I mean, it was just an awesome job, and I have them here with me, and I'd like to introduce them to you, you and your minions out there. This is my cameraman, Jake Blue. I'm handing off the phone.
Hey, Jake, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How's it going?
Hey, Jake. Jake, welcome to the Ballast National Sports Talk Show. We have fun talking racing every single week. So you were ringside at WWE NASCAR style. Tell us what happened, and don't leave out any of the good stuff.
No, it was a crazy scene. I just happened to be going towards the garage because the fight already kind of was breaking out. So I started kind of heading that way, and the directors and producers, everybody screaming. And as I turn around to go towards the garage, I see Clint just in a full sprint. And I'm just like, oh, here we go. My instincts just take over. And I'm connected to another pointer pole, which another guy's carrying. His name's Robbie. And I look at him, and we just kind of had that look in my eye, and we took off literally in a dead sprint. And I'm just thinking, well, nobody got hurt. We didn't go fall. I mean, it's just so many variables that worked out, and it made a great-looking shot. And it was an unbelievable scene. Chaos everywhere, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. We watched it all here in Indianapolis, and you didn't miss a beat, that's for sure. Kitty, we're also joining by Kitty Barr of Radio Speed Talk, which is my partner in crime to talk racing every Saturday morning. Kitty, we got Walter Cox from ESPN, and his friend and cameraman Jake Blue is right down in the midst of it all. You can't get a better eyewitness to the events than that. So, Kitty, what are your questions for Jake and Walter?
I don't know if I have any questions, but I have a definite opinion for Jake and his partner who did all the legwork keeping up with Boyer. Whoever gives away cinematic awards or ESPYs at the end of the year, they deserve them hands down. That was really cool, you guys keeping up with him. That's an endorsement for 5-hour energy for both Boyer and those two guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, maybe we can get you guys some Twinkies or something.
There you go. Yeah, I think they're going out of business, so we better stock up.
We better stock up. Well, Jake, I know you're very, very busy, and I know Walter's hard to keep up with. Hopefully today, this weekend won't be any retaliation. We're going to get into that conversation here in just a few moments. But, Jake, is there any final thoughts? I mean, what was going on? I mean, did you guys just kind of know? Was this something that – okay, guys, we're going to position ourselves because we think, you know, it's kind of like meet me after school behind the Burger King. Or did you guys just kind of happen to be at the right place at the right time?
You know, it was so much going on, and bottom line is I just happened to be in the right place at the right time because we had there's four cameras like me down there. There's four RFs, wireless cameras. So we're all kind of spread out, and the directors and producers are kind of – they wanted to send one guy to the garage and – There was so much screaming and yelling and such a chaotic scene that you just got to react. And I happened to be standing there when Clint started running towards the garage. And I mean, it was just mayhem. I mean, the cops were pushing and shoving. There were fans back there because NASCAR allows fans to with credentials to walk in the garage. And it was just so much pushing and shoving and yelling. And, it was how it unfolded was not scripted by any means. It just was all instincts.
Well, Jake, we appreciate you taking some time to join us here on The Balance today. I know you got work to do. We're going to talk to Walter for a few more minutes about the race at hand. I don't know that we'll have a sequel, but it was kind of one of those once-in-a-lifetime events.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you one thing, your shot will be played in highlights for generations to come.
Oh, man, it means a lot to me. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Thanks, Jake. Have a good day,
sir. You too.
Jake Blue, cameraman from ESPN. Guy down in the midst of it all, Kitty. I tell you what, You know, we've been to races. We're there. But that is once-in-a-lifetime event that happened. And it's we make jokes about it and everything. But on the flip side of it, it's a very serious thing that happened. I want to talk about and move from the fun side to the serious side of what actually caused this. And I want to start with you, Walter, because you were right there. You saw what happened. You saw Jeff Gordon push Clint into the wall. Obviously, those guys have been feuding, and this was just the straw that broke the camel's back. So, Walter, from your professional broadcasting perspective, walk us through what you think may have caused all of this, and why did Jeff go that far? That is so unlike Jeff Gordon.
First of all, I think it's funny you called me a professional. But no, I wish the fans could understand it is phenomenal. Drivers have memories of elephants. They could tell you 4 years ago at, let's just say, Kansas, somebody got into my rear bumper and I didn't appreciate it, and boom, it's logged into their memory. So every time that person gets into them after that, boom, it's logged into the memory. And it finally overloaded Jeff's circuits. He said he could not take it anymore. It came to a head. Clint just barely bumped him. I mean, you couldn't even call it a bump. It was so slight. And that was it for him. He remembered every other incident that Clint and him had gotten into. And he said, I had had enough. And boom, he took care of it right there on the track. That's old school taking care of it. And I tell you, NASCAR needed a shot in the arm like that. We need some more of that. I wish they'd let it happen. But now they're going to fine everybody and put them back in their seats.
Well, you know.
But it's a long process.
I don't know that NASCAR is really upset about this thing. Yeah, they have to do the politically correct thing and slap people on the hands and take some money from them. But I don't know that they're upset about this. And Kenny, we've talked about this on the show many times. From the fans' perspective, we need a little bit more action. And Walter was very right on this. That was just the shot in the arm that NASCAR needs. Because whether you like NASCAR or not, all week long people were talking about NASCAR, and they got to love that. Kenny?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can go back to 79 and the reason that NASCAR really got jumped short on television with the Nelson brothers and Marlboro. They do need a couple of guys with mean streaks and some bad guys, and not the guys with bad attitudes, but just they just get in there and get after it. You know, the last time I think anybody hooked anybody's jaw was Jimmy Spencer, and he didn't hit those hard enough, in my opinion. But, they need those rivalries. They need those controversies. It keeps your name in the paper, keeps your name in the media, and it's an easy marketing thing because it doesn't cost you any money to get people mad at each other.
Well, and I absolutely agree. And here's the thing: this whole NASCAR thing. I tell you what, it came down to a climax, and I hate to use climax and fluids and Danica all in the same sentence, but it's been waiting to happen. And Walter, so we look at Danica. Danica's right in the mix at the end of this race. They didn't call a caution, and boom, we have a mess all because of Danica. Walk us through that. Why not the caution before everybody hit Danica for the second time?
Well, they didn't realize they was looking down there, but didn't realize so much was coming out from underneath the car as it was. And by the time they did, it was too late. So, you know, that was a seat of your pants kind of call. I don't think they could have done it any different. They tried, you know, looking and evaluating the situation, but they made the best call, what they thought was the best call at that time. So, no, nothing they could do about that. I tell you that, Danica, she is a little firecracker. People don't realize the spirit and the oomph that she's bringing to the sport next year when she goes cup racing. You're going to really be surprised. She does not like it when people bump into her or slide up into her, and she will pay them back. So we're going to see more of what we saw this past weekend from Danica.
I agree. One time at IMS, I was in the elevator, and it was crowded, and I bumped into her, and she said excuse me to me, and that was the last time she's ever said anything to me. So I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened. All right, Kenny, let's move on over to what's going on today. Real quickly, Kenny, do you think that there's going to be some retaliation? Jeff Gordon said in USA Today this week that he thinks that it's very possible that Clint Bowyer will bring some retaliation against Jeff Gordon.
Do we really need it now? Kitty, what are your thoughts? You think? Go ahead.
What's going to happen? We're going to carry this over to next year if there's still bad blood through next year. Nothing's going to happen today. Tomorrow, or whenever the race is. Things are going to calm down a little bit. They're going to focus on the championship more than anything. And, if something happens, it's going to be accidental. But Boyer's not going to take anybody out. I don't think it's going to get ugly at all. This whole thing's been building up since Martinsville. We've been on Radio Speed Talk. We talk every week that this thing's just a pressure cooker and a firecracker, and somebody's going to pop. Something's going to happen. We thought it was going to happen 5 races ago, and then 4 races ago, and then 3 races ago, and it finally came to a head down to Phoenix. And I think a lot of that pressure is relieved. Boyer can't do anything about it anymore. You know, he's out of the chase contention. He's going to probably finish 3rd in the points. Gordon has had just one of those up-and-down awful years anyway. And being a 4-time champion, he's got to put that behind him and just go forward and race. Boyer still, he's still got the... He's still going to do well today, but I don't think there's going to be any retaliations or any fights in the pits or anybody. There's going to be a lot of evil looks tossed between pit crews and stuff, and maybe a jackhandle or two shaking at each other. But that's about it. A lot of saber rattling is all going to go on.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Absolutely. But I've gotten an opportunity over the years to get to know Clint Boyer's people, and I've sent various emails and texts, and they're steering clear. But just for the record, I did try to get Clint on the show today. They felt like it was best that he not. So I tried, guys. I tried. Well, let's talk about Miami. Walter, you're down there in Miami, and I tell you what, I know it's a rough job working for ESPN, and somebody has to do it, but you're down there in Miami soaking up the sun, drinking those little drinks with the umbrellas in it, probably hanging out at South Beach at night. But we got us a race to go to. Is this Brad's championship to lose? What's going to happen? What are some of the key things that we're going to see down there in Miami this weekend?
I got to say, you just know me. You know me way too well. But first, I want to say I disagree with your guest about no retaliation tomorrow. You would not believe the tension in that garage, how upset Clint Boyer's team is and Clint Boyer is and his crew chief, Ryan Patty. Oh, my goodness. If we don't see something on lap one, I would be surprised. It's that bad. Jeff Gordon may pay his fine and say, I'm over it and past it. Clint's not past it. He had an absolute chance for the championship. Of course, Brad Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson would have a little trouble to make it happen, but he was still within reach. And to be a brand-new team and to have the championship within reach and have it jerked away from you, you got to realize they've raced 33 races this year. And the tremendous pressure that's on them and how well they've done, and to put themselves in that position and then have somebody else take them out of that position, they are royally mad. So, I am expecting the payback.
Here's my thoughts to you, Kitty. And, Kitty, I want your thoughts on this. Here's the thing. You look at what you just heard Walter say about, yes, there's going to be some retaliation and maybe somebody hit the wall. Now, we look at what happened with Will Power in the IndyCar Championships. And everybody thought Will Power could be there. But at the very end, it didn't happen. Jimmy Johnson, let's look at what could happen. Anything can happen. Let me ask you this, Kenny. How big would this be if this Boyer-Gordon fight goes out on the track and it prevents either Brad or Jimmy from winning this championship? How huge will that then become?
Do I hear conspiracy theory?
You know me. We've got to get him in every week, buddy. Every week.
it'd be almost double huge compared to the media attention that it got this week. I'll tell you why. I'm going to respectfully disagree with Walter only for one reason. If Boyer retaliates today and really mixes up the mess, they'll park him for the Daytona 500, and that's the last thing any sponsor or any teams want to do. So I think he's going to wait till next year to really give his opinion on the racetrack kind of thing. I think he's going to stay clean today. I think Boyer's over and above that, but Walter's got the inside scoop. He's there. He can feel the tension in the air and stuff. Boy, if they mix things up and Johnson ended up winning the championship because Keselowski got caught up in this this little feud going on, oh, boy, that Twitter would blow up, J-Ski would blow up, NASCAR.com would probably go down, the server would just melt, you know. It would be a huge deal out here.
Well, I agree, and I know we've got clocks with ESPN, and he's down there in Miami. I don't know if he's driving or what he's got going on there, but hey, welcome to Thanksgiving. But I always like to ask my guests on the show before Thanksgiving, what are you most thankful for outside of a job at ESPN? Pays all your traveling expenses. How about that?
Well, I tell you, Tom, I'm most thankful, first of all, for my family, my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and friends like you. I just couldn't do it without y'all.
Well, I tell you what, Walter, we love having you a part of the show, and we look forward to having you on the show throughout this next year. And I know that your racing season is about to come to an end, but I'm sure we'll catch up with you next year. Is Brad going to win the championship?
Wow. That man is a bundle of nerves down there in the garage right now. He looks cool as a cucumber. And his team is trying to be nonchalant and, you know, playing everything off. But, woo, you can feel the tension when you walk into that garage stall. But if he plays his game, drives his race, does what he's done all season, it is Brad's to win. And Jimmy, he's 20 points back, so he needs Brad to have a little bit of bad luck. So hopefully Brad's going to avoid the Jeff Gordon, Clint Boyer incident coming.
All right, buddy. Well, go enjoy a pina colada on us and have yourself a nice Twinkie. And again, thanks for having Mr. Blue on with us as well and giving us that eyewitness experience, guys. We really appreciate it. You guys have a safe, fun trip down there in ESPN land, and we'll be watching you here in Indianapolis land.
Thank you, El Presidente. It's been a pleasure as always. Shout out to the Minion. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Walter Cox, ESPN pit reporter. I tell you what, he is a bundle to have, and just so much fun. We've had an opportunity to hang out with him on the personal level, so I just really consider him a good friend of the show and personally. And it was just awesome when he said, "Hey, man, I'm down here in the mist, and I got a story for you." I couldn't resist, Kenny. And it's always good to have guests like that on. And you know what's fun to not, you don't have to agree with everybody. You're not married to our guests, so you don't have to agree with them at all. But Kenny, I do want to talk with you, and I appreciate you taking some time to join us today. We got just a few more minutes. I know that you got woke up early for a smoke alarm and all of that stuff, so I know that you are rushing around today. But let's look at this race in Miami. Give us your breakdown, the Radio Speed Talk breakdown, and talk with us about what's going on Speed Talk this week.
Well, the race in Miami is going to be surprisingly uneventful. I don't. There's not enough, other than the feud and the chase, there's not enough other side stories, I think, to really make it a great big thing. I think it's going to be, and I hate to be a downer on it, but I think it's going to be kind of a dud of a race, and Keselowski's going to win, and Johnson's going to finish second, and there'll be a lot of carryover to next year. It just was so big and so ugly and so wild last week. And I don't think they can top it, and I don't think they really want to top it. I don't think they want to carry some of that momentum onto the Daytona 500. And they'll stir that pot, you know, starting January after the Super Bowl, you know, when the advertising and stuff starts in.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's going to be kind of a quiet race. What was the second half of your question? Oh, what's on Speed Talk?
What's on Speed Talk this week?
Similar conversation about the fight, and we talked about the trucks. We talked about NHRA. We congratulated all the champions of those divisions and how fun that season was to follow all year long. We shamelessly plugged our contest with the two $50 gas cards. You'll have to check that out. And what else can we talk about? Oh, the fines. How much money did each guy fine? And did you think it was really appropriate? And why in the world did they fine Keselowski for having a cell phone in his car? Yeah.
We shifted around a little bit.
I tell you what, I had that on my list to get to. We just didn't get to it. Irony upon irony. Do not text and drive, my friends. Unless you're NASCAR. Unless you're in a NASCAR, you can text. I'm sorry, that was comical. I was sitting here watching that race, Kenny, and I was like, he's got his cell phone out. The race is flagged and stopped. Granted, he wasn't driving in Texas. He had stopped, but he's got his cell phone out. That's classic.
It's kind of neat, but I'll tell you what, I'll give you that scoop I was talking to you about Thursday night or whatever. You know, when the first time that he had it out at Daytona, it was the first time it had EFI and the electronic boxes and everything and ECMs in the box. They didn't know much about it. Now they got 35 races into it, and I'm going to bring up an old rule that everybody hates, the word traction control. You know, I'll bet you there's an app or a way through these smartphones and these iPhones and stuff that you can run traction control through the ECM, and when you take that cell phone out of the car, you take all the evidence with you. And I'll bet you, maybe I'm just talking right through my hat, and Walter probably thinks I'm nuts because he's still listening. If that is part of the reason you don't want a cell phone in the car.
I totally agree. Well, guys, we got to get out of here. Kenny, thanks for joining us, and I appreciate your input, and we'll be running Speed Talk actually before the Colts game this week, so we'll have that going because it's a later game of the Colts game. Well, Kenny, I appreciate you joining us. And you and Cliff have a good week and a happy Thanksgiving. Kenny, what are you most thankful for?
Well, several things. You know, obviously my salvation, my family. I married up. I got a great wife. And I don't know what you ever saw in me. And we're pushing 30 years now. And then in at the Shepherd's House and being able to share life with the 30 or so guys we got here. And even though a fire alarm went off, so we had to yell out in the cold this morning. It's all good. You guys are decorating for Christmas today. Life couldn't be any better for me. If it was any better, there'd have to be two of me.
And we couldn't handle that, sir. All right, on that note, we got to go. Go have yourself a Twinkie today.
I'll eat one along with you.
All right. Kenny Barr of Radio Speed Talk joining us, as well as Walter Cox and Jake Blue, a cameraman of ESPN, really breaking down the brawl, WWE, NASCAR style. Guys, we got to take a break. We're going to be back with Pete LaFuchsia, Jimmy the Intern. We're going to be talking some college football.
Got a problem with that. You can kiss my country ass.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, welcome back, college football Saturday. I tell you what, we've got a lot going on in college football, and as well as we're starting to merge and marry the two sports.
as far as college football and college basketball go. Well, we're going to start off right now. Join us. We're still waiting on Jimmy the intern. Haven't heard much from him. Hopefully, he will be in here soon. I do think that we have Pete on the air with us. Pete, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, I got a text that said you hung up on me, so I really wasn't for sure on that or not. So
I didn't hang up on you. You hung up on me. Darn it!
I hung up on you. Well, you know what? You know what's going on.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
All right. We get to talk some Notre Dame football, myself and Mr. Pete LaFuchsia. I want to make sure we get Notre Dame out because we do got a lot to talk about in the Big Ten. We're going to be talking about the Oaken Bucket. We're still waiting on Jimmy. I know Evan's in a dance marathon at Purdue University. I didn't know they still did those sort of things. You know, I don't know. I think it's just called nowadays going out drinking all night and dancing and then sleeping in, and that's a marathon. I'm not really sure, but he said that he was going to be in a dance marathon. So, big boy, it looks like it's just you and I, Mr. Tornado Pete. You know,
if they're doing a dance contest, are they all walking around in beaver skin coats, too, and going, rah, rah, we will beat our rivals? I mean, how 1940s can you get?
I don't know. Are they calling it a sock hop? I don't really know. He just said they're having it is for charity. So we got to give the hats off. They are raising money for charity, but it's a dance.
If I'm a betting man, I'm going for Fonzie.
Fonzie. Well, you know what? We had a sad loss. We talked about it with Kenny and Walter Cox from ESPN. We had a sad loss this week, and we are learning more and more about it. Looks like we've lost Twinkies and Hostess Ding Dongs. It is a sad, sad thing for us big radio guys who love Twinkies. I'm very disturbed.
I'm disturbed also, but in listening to business channels, Little Debbie's, all these other companies are lining up to buy the patent for that. There's not a thing that Hostess doesn't make that is a named icon that won't switch over to another company. Yes, they'll still be making Twinkies. They just won't be Hostess Twinkies. They'll be Little Debbie's Twinkies or Aunt Millie's Twinkies or whatever.
Or Little Debbie's Ding Dogs, brother.
Yeah.
Only
and believe me, I owe probably a good 70 pounds to Little Debbie's. I mean, come on. They say, what's the obesity problem? The fact that you can get that much cake for 25 cents is why I'm fat. It's like you look at it and go, wow, I got 75 cents. I can get three big Frosted Zebra cakes.
That's right. Little Debbie's got their own little gig going on. Little Debbie's booming in. And you know
Little Debbie's is a cartel to me, okay? That's what it is. They've got the drug, they're pushing it, okay? Enough said.
Well, you know, obviously this isn't a political show, but we could certainly go down the road that if you didn't have a reason to hate unions, you do now because they put out Twinkies. I'm upset. And now I find out that I have to pay for Obamacare by ordering a pizza. What is this world coming to?
You and I could go on a tangent because you've seen what I look like, okay? I currently have not been able to get health insurance, so I went through one of those pre-existing condition ones that was created by the health care law, not Obamacare, because you can't call it that. And would you believe they denied me? I have been well over 300 pounds most of my life, and it's not a pre-existing condition. But I can't get regular insurance through anything else unless I'm paying $1,000 a month. So you love to hear bureaucracy of that. But we could talk about college football, which will lower my blood pressure, which is also a pre-existing condition.
Well, you know, the one thing that we do know is what's pre-existing is college football on Saturday. And we got Notre Dame to talk about. So let's talk about them. Notre Dame, number one, and obviously a huge, huge turnaround. Brian Kelly is voting number one for Notre Dame, as he should. The coach believes his team is worthy, and if you ask him, he'll explain why. And that's part of an article on USA Today. You could go read it. But it goes on in that article to say, in a three-way race for two spots in the Bowl Championship Series, national championship game, the Irish ranked number three, with seemingly little chance of overtaking Kansas State or Oregon. Should the Wildcats and the Ducks remain unbeaten, at least for now, there's not much politicking for Notre Dame. So a lot of people say Notre Dame is who they are because they're Notre Dame. But I would say I would be one of those people that are typically on that bandwagon. But I think right now Notre Dame has earned their right to be number one.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the BCS computer have them ranked as number one? It's because if you add the polls and the coaches and all the humans, that's what takes them down to number three. Am I not correct on that?
You are absolutely correct on that, sir. And I was talking about that very same topic this week. But see, that's a whole other tangent for me, because BCS computer ranking system is BS. And
yeah, they're just one too many letters in that one. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we need to go to a playoff system. I don't see that happening right now anytime soon, but we do need to go to a playoff system. Now, let's talk about the playoffs. Let's talk about Alabama falling to Johnny Football. Let's look at that. Here's the thing. Alabama is now not undefeated. You look at a team like Texas A&M that brought them down. Okay, they certainly are going to be able to be in a very lucrative bowl game. They should not be in the national championship. Agree or disagree?
If all three of the top three stumble, then if they win the SEC championship against Georgia, they're going to be in it. Because why? The people that love college football love the SEC, and they're not going to deny an SEC team, if not two, in the national championship. Now, are we going to see all three fall in the next couple weeks? I highly doubt that. But I could see one, maybe two teams stumbling. Hopefully we don't see two teams stumbling, because if that happens, then there's going to be an SEC team going there. And then, of course, it's going to be the year that Ohio State played Louisiana State with a two-loss season. All again, it's okay, they don't compare. I'm not one of these people that's drinking the Kool-Aid that the SEC is a great conference. I'll give you that they're good. I'm not saying that they're great, because people use the argument, well, they sit there and they beat up on each other and all that, and look at the competition they have to play. Yeah, but there's 126 teams, seven of which have not won one conference game. And of that seven, four of them are in the SEC. So go tell me how the bottom half of your conference has not won a game makes your conference all that much better. I think the Big 12 is a better conference than the SEC right now. If I were to send a team to the national championship from any conference, it would have to be the Big 12. That more than likely being Kansas State, unless they stumble. And even if they stumble, I still think they're a decent team. What stinks about this late in the season is if you get an undefeated team who went all this way and they stumbled now, they don't get a chance to play for a championship. Whereas a team like, say, Georgia, who stumbled against South Carolina back in, week three, they could go and they get to play for it. Or if you're a team that America loves, i.e. Alabama, you could lose to a Texas A&M and still be considered in the national championship hunt. And believe me, if you listen to the Kool-Aid drinkers on talk radio all week, they're all doing the, well, if we got this and this, I think Alabama should be in there over so-and-so. There are people that actually think that Alabama should be in over – Kansas State or Notre Dame playing in the national championship because they don't play the kind of football we play in the SEC. Yeah, okay, yeah, they don't play that kind of football where you only have to play so many teams and then your cream puff non-conference schedule. I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit there and knock. Notre Dame's had a couple cream puffs on their schedule, but you got to look. Who is some of the teams playing? Western Carolina. I didn't even know that school existed, let alone are they a Division I school. And then if you look at a school like Florida, I did not know this was a statistic till I heard it. Florida has not traveled outside of the state of Florida for a non-conference game since 1991.
Well, here's the thing, and you know, I totally agree with you on this. Here's my thing, and I do want to get to some Big Ten talk, guys, and we will do that. But as we move closer to bowl season, which we're doing, and obviously we're right up against Thanksgiving, and we're looking at you know, a lot of football on Thanksgiving, so a lot of people are talking about football. We look in forward to New Year's Day, which is right around the corner, which is huge for us college football geeks. We look at some of the bowls, and right now, and we talk about this every year, playoff system, BS, is BCS is BS. We keep repeating it, and, you know, the thing about it is you're never going to make everybody happy. But the way I look at it is this. Basketball does it, same schools. Sure, we'd have fewer teams and fewer teams available, but a playoff system, I think, would solve a lot of these problems. But they haven't, so we've got to look at the possibilities of what's going on in some of these big bowl games. Obviously, there's all kinds of bowl games, and probably soon to be the Cereal Bowl and the Toilet Bowl. There's all kinds of bowl games. We're going to talk about and highlight some of the other ones. Obviously, what I just talked about, Alabama gone. Bama down, Bama down, Bama down. Was it? You know, no, it wasn't you. It was a call.
I said it down. Down goes Bama. Down goes Bama.
Yeah. Well, you see, here's the thing. I sent that same text out to a couple people and a colleague. He goes, "What are you talking about Obama for?" I'm like, "Really?
Obama.
Really, ah. Dude? Really?" And you know what? This is a guy that follows sports. He goes, "Oh, man, I wasn't even thinking that. You're so used to talking politics with me." But anyway, so we go. Alabama goes down. Okay, that puts Oregon in the number one spot. To me, that opens up the doors for number two, Kansas State. You look at, by logic, Oregon, Kansas State, the BCS National Championship game. Do you agree with that philosophy at all, or do you think that it'll be Oregon and somebody else, or will Alabama get to the National Championship game?
Well, first of all, Alabama has to go against, even though they haven't won a game yet this year, Auburn, if you remember right, I want to say it was back in 97 or 98, Auburn had a really bad year, and Alabama was doing good, like two losses, and they went in there. They're going to Auburn, and Auburn smoked them. So that could happen in a rivalry game like that. Then you also have to play Georgia, who I agree with a lot of people. They are the sleeper. They were the best team in the SEC East. I could see Georgia over Alabama in the national championship. They only had that stumble. Yes, it was a bad one against, I think it was Florida or South Carolina. It was one of them two they lost to. I could see them before Alabama. But, again, people love them. And to correct you, actually, Kansas State is number one in the poll. Oregon's two. So you were saying it backwards, but that's the way they have it. Of those two teams, I think Oregon has the harder road to undefeated of them two teams. Kansas State has Texas. That's about it. Although there are some pundits out there that are putting Kansas State on upset alert today against Baylor, saying, hey, look, they may not have the greatest defense, but they have the number two offense in some statistics, and they're in the top 20 in other parts of offense. So that's something Kansas State needs to watch out for. I say of those two, Oregon's got the hardest road to undefeated with what we got left. And then hopefully if as a Notre Dame fan, they get to the BCS, they have to play one of them two teams, I would rather see Notre Dame play Kansas State than Oregon, because Oregon puts up a lot of numbers. They don't care about their defense. It's like, you know what? If we throw 70 points on the board, who cares what our defense is doing?
Well,
and Notre Dame does have a good defense, but still, you take a team that can throw 60, 70 points on the board. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about Notre Dame. And by the way, I've got Alabama going to the Sugar Bowl against Clemson on the 2nd there in New Orleans. And I've got Oklahoma against LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. But let's talk about the Rose Bowl. I think that's where you see Notre Dame at. You look at Nebraska, you look at Notre Dame with Ohio State ineligible, obviously, for a bowl game. Nebraska lands in the Rose Bowl. I think there's – you disagree? Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to ask you if you could help clarify something. Is Nebraska – who are both going to be playing in the Big Ten champion? If all things factors go equal through the rest of the season, which two teams are playing in the Big Ten championship?
Nebraska and IU.
No. I was just saying, ain't IU.
No, it's certainly not IU. I think you've got to obviously look at Nebraska and Wisconsin playing in.
I was going to say, now have those two have played this year already, right?
I do believe so. I'm going to have to go back and research.
Okay, so a rematch. I personally think that Wisconsin, knowing, I don't know what it is. Just from the handful of people I've met and one up in Wisconsin, that's an area up there that in their culture, they love the idea of going to a Rose Bowl, I think even more than winning a national championship. Not to say that they wouldn't want to. I don't know, but for some reason I just get this feeling that Wisconsin's going to try for that Rose Bowl, and I could see them upsetting, and I think it'd be more Wisconsin-Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. Now, and believe me, I know the Rose Bowl people are salivating at the chance to get Notre Dame in there because they've looked in the past to try and get them in there, but they just weren't quote-unquote BCS eligible at the time, but they were just on the outside of the BCS back in the earlier part of the last decade. That would have been a great one. I could see that. I could see either Nebraska or Wisconsin, and it'd be a great game. I think that would be a perfect one. It'd be a good game, and heck, I'd love to see Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl again.
I think
not
it will be.
Not that I was alive to see it the last time they were in one, but.
Well, you know, no Pac-12 team will be eligible to replace Oregon. So I think that opens up a door for Notre Dame. I think this year, more than ever, you've got the best shot to see Notre Dame in the Rose Bowl. And myself, I call me a guy that loves nostalgic football, the way it used to be. Rose Bowl was the national championship. That's what everybody played for to get to was the Rose Bowl. So in my mind, the Rose Bowl is still – the top game of the day on New Year's Day. The other game over there on New Year's Day is the Orange Bowl. And, you know, just south of here, Louisville is really turning it on. And I here's my projection for the Orange Bowl. Florida State will win the ACC. I don't see anybody in their way of stopping that. So that will get them into Miami. And the Orange Bowl gets his final pick and is left in the Big East Championship. And let's look at it, obviously. It's Louisville. So you've got Florida State and Louisville in the Orange Bowl and Florida State winning it all. What are your thoughts on that?
I'd have to agree with you on that. On the ACC, that's a conference that, with all the moving around and the teams going from A to B, here to there, and all that, they're still trying to find their way. I think that their alignments, if I'm not mistaken, have been like super lopsided for the divisions of that conference. And then when you go and throw that, now that Notre Dame is going to be in the ACC for all sports but football, but as part of that they have to carry 4 ACC games a year, that's going to throw a wrench in that too, because I don't think that Notre Dame's going to play the bottom 4 teams every year. I mean, yes, when they put Wake Forest on there, they were good, but that's just a one in turmoil. I see Florida State and Louisville, those two would be – I think they'd be a great match right there. Because if I'm not mistaken, nobody else is even close. Louisville is going to win the Big East outright, correct?
I don't see anybody else doing this. I think that this is absolutely Louisville's game, championship to lose. Absolutely. Well, you know, I want to talk about another game because we ran out of time. Time flies by so fast. When you're having fun here on The Balance and on the Thanksgiving show on top of all of that. I appreciate you, buddy, sending me over that bite that I use at the beginning of the show. I'm going to use it here in a minute. But I swear to God I thought turkeys could fly. And I was talking at the very beginning of the show. Anybody that's in radio knows that that's the classic bit that you use on Thanksgiving. Well, let's talk about the old Oaken Bucket. You and I will be up there at that game, and we'll be covering that game. I'm still trying to, so I don't want to make the official announcement, but we are trying to work it out where we can do the show from up there. But if not, you and I will definitely be up there for
that game.
Well,
I thought
you
were going to find a port-a-john or something.
Yeah.
That's what you made it sound like.
I told you, we
will be there.
You know what? If that would be good radio, you and I sitting in a porta potty doing the show. I think
you need to use this platform. Here, I'll do it officially. Hey, if you are in the greater Lafayette, West Lafayette area, and you would like to host The Balance Online Saturday morning, contact Tom through the website. We would love to come in and give your business fraternity house or outhouse some free publicity. Just get a hold of us. We'll bring the equipment. You bring the ambiance.
There you go. And there you go. And I'm going to have Michelle. I hope Michelle's listening. I know she's going to get it up. So if you're in the West Lafayette area, if you've got a frat house, if you've got a coffee house, if you've got a porta potty, Pete and I are going to come and do the show there, and we're going to build up your place, and we're going to have more people lined up to your porta potty. Probably you see two fat guys sitting in there doing the show.
What stipulation? It has to have wireless internet.
You have to have wireless access, that's for sure. Well, let's talk about that game real quick before we run out of time. It's IU, it's Purdue, all records go out. Obviously, this is Hope's last year, tenure as the coach with Purdue. I mean, that's all but official there. And you look at IU. IU wins two really key games in the Big Ten, obviously falling to Wisconsin. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody at all. But you throw out all the records, nothing else matters at this point. Neither one of them are going to a bowl game, nothing. At this point, the pride of the biggest trophy game in the state next to the Monon Bell game against Wabash and DePaul from last week, this is the biggest trophy game in the state. The old Oaken Bucket. Break it down by the numbers for me, Pete.
Well, basically, like you said, both teams, they are facing a no chance of a bowl game. So this is their bowl game. Seniors, you got Purdue, who has a 4-6 record. I really would have thought they would have did a little bit better this year. But then you've got IU, what is their record right now? I'm trying to think. They are, they're 4-6. So you got two teams that are pretty close in the record at this point. Next week, we'll see if they're still doing the same. They're not going to, like I said, not going to make a bowl game. This is the bowl game. This is the big one. You've got to see, I've been down on the field for a couple Oaken Bucket games, and believe me, when they win, this is the pinnacle of a lot of these seniors' season. So that's the way you got to break it down. All things go out the all records, everything out the window when these two play. There's a lot of upsets that have happened on both sides of it. Purdue does lead the series quite a bit. As I've made a joke, the one year I got to go see it, and I want to say it was 2009, I was down in Bloomington, and they pull that chain out. I didn't know there was a chain in there, and they put a link in it every year of it's either an I or a P. And I told somebody, I go, you know what? It's like somebody was trying to say the word pimp but was stuttering. So I was like, because there's more P's than I's. So there's my little humorous take on that.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to have to get to Elizabeth the Greek, and I know standing in the wings is Jeff Kurtz of Bear Closet. Jeff, are you with us?
I am. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, sir. We want to have you. We want
to have you stand by. We're going to go to Elizabeth the Greek. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the picks of Elizabeth the Greek. So I want you involved in this. And if you've not heard her yet, she's fantastic. Actually, Pete LaFuchsia, who's joining us here on College Football Saturday, it's his daughter. And how old is she, Pete?
She just turned 5 on Tuesday, so she just celebrated her 5th birthday. She's actually been doing it since she was 2.
And here's the thing, Jeff, and we're going to get into her picks here in just a moment. She's on radio stations all over the United States, and we're proud to have her every Saturday right here on The Balance, guys. Elizabeth the Greek.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up. Right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Mom Keith.
Ladies and gentlemen,
she's fresh, her voice is natural, and she does it simply.
It's time for
introducing
Elizabeth the
Greek. Bam!
Well, Elizabeth, last week you did pretty good. You went 7-2-1. You actually had a tie game. You picked, who was it? You picked the Rams, but San Francisco and St. Louis tied. So, therefore, that's going to give you the one at the end. So, you're 7-2-1. One of those seven, you called the upset. Number 1, Alabama falling to number 15, Texas A&M. Good job on that one.
I'm pretty excited about that one.
Well, let's move on to this week. Go into college. We've got the number 10, Florida State Seminoles, or the Maryland Terrapins?
The Florida State Seminoles!
In the Big Ten, the undefeated Ohio State Buckeyes, or the Wisconsin Badgers?
Wisconsin Badgers!
Going down to the SEC in a rivalry match, the Tennessee Volunteers or the Vanderbilt Commodores?
Vanderbilt Commodores.
Moving out to the West Coast to the Pac-12, you go with the number 13 Stanford Cardinal or the number 2 Oregon Ducks? The Oregon Ducks. And finally, this one's going to be a rough one for you to pick. The Wake Forest Demon Deacons or the Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Moving on to the NFL, instead of having 2 1 o'clock games and 1 4 o'clock game, we're going to switch it up a little bit. This week we're going to go with 1 1 o'clock game. And that is the Green Bay Packers or the Detroit Lions. Who do you go with?
The Detroit Islands.
The Detroit Islands? Moving on to 4 o'clock, do you go with the San Diego Chargers or the Denver Broncos?
The Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Another 4 o'clock game, the Indianapolis Colts or the New England Patriots?
Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts. Moving on to our Sunday night game, is it the Baltimore Ravens or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh? Okay. And finally, on Monday night, do you go with the Chicago Bears or the San Francisco 49ers?
San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. And we're going to do a special one this week, seeing as it's the last race in NASCAR. There is one race left. There are two guys that could mathematically win the championship. I know how you're going to say, but let's let your fan base, the listeners, know. For the championship, who's going to win it? Is it going to be Brad Keselowski or Jimmy Johnson? Go ahead, tell everybody who's going to win it. You're going to go with Brad Keselowski over your favorite driver, Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah, because you always win. mine doesn't.
Yours doesn't. You're 5 years old. The guy's won 5 championships. And you're not going with
them. I'm going to go with both of them.
You can't go with both. You gotta pick either Brad Keselowski or Jimmy Johnson.
I think I'm going to pick Jimmy Johnson.
Okay, you're going to pick Jimmy Johnson. All right. And who made those picks?
Elizabeth the Geek. But never to like me on Facebook. Facebook.com/ElizabethTheGeek.
You did it without help this week.
Because I love the red spot.
All right, Elizabeth the Greek, never letting us down every single week. Well, we're going to start with you, Mr. Jeff. What are your thoughts, real quickly, before we get into the conversation at hand? What are your thoughts about Elizabeth the Greek's pick? And I mind you that she's done very well this year.
Well, that's a tough act to follow, guys. I'm impressed. She has a very unique style of taking games. I think she showed her football acumen. Everything except the last pick. I disagree with her a little bit on that Monday nighter, but the rest of the picks, very impressive.
All right, Pete. What's her official record now? Do you have it handy there?
I don't. I know that she's well over 80% for the year. I know that. But last week, 7-2-1. I could actually figure up what her 11-week average is for you and let you know for next week's show. But, I mean, I'll be honest with you. This week, I'm not too impressed with her picks because I think it's probably all the sugar from every birthday that she's went to for herself because she's got the one for the adults, the one for everybody at school. So she's, like, all on a sugar high. And the more I think about it, other than, I want to say, Florida State and the Colts, she picked the home team every time, which is what she did when she was 2, when all she did was repeated the last thing that Daddy said. So I'm wondering if maybe is it luck or just the fact that she just couldn't concentrate and couldn't focus and just said, oh, Ohio State or the Badgers? I'll go with the Badgers. Although, last I heard, the Badgers were, a 2.5-point favor over the Buckeyes. But I'm just saying that she always seemed to be picking whatever the last thing I was saying.
Well, guys, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to get back with Jeff Kurtz of Bears Claws. We're going to break down the Chicago Bears and what's going on with them around the NFL as well. Get into some Colts talk. Pete, can you stay with us, or do you got
to
go?
I actually have to run.
All right, Pete, we'll talk to you next week. Remember, guys, if you want us to do your show live, our show live from your location in West Lafayette. We're going to be up there for the old Oak and Bucket. We want to hear from you right away. Give us a call. Give us a direct message. All the information's on our social media outlets. Guys, we got to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to jump right in to the NFL.
Gangnam Style.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
New 20!
Football, catch the fever. The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football.
All right. Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, you have stumbled across the final hour of our Thanksgiving show, and we are very thankful to have with us another friend of the show, Mr. Jeff Kurtz of Bear Claws. Jeff, how are we doing, sir, on this beautiful Saturday morning?
We're doing great, Tom. Always great to be with you and talking with the fans about sports.
Oh, yeah, absolutely love it. And we're going to get into the Bears and obviously Monday night game. Jay Cutler going to be out of there. But, you know, here's the thing. We've been talking about this to all of our guests all morning long. We had a tragic loss, the loss of Twinkies and Hostess. It's really a bad thing, especially for us radio guys. And they say there's only two things that can survive a nuclear holocaust, cockroaches and a Hostess Twinkie. Well, apparently Hostess Twinkies can't survive their company. Are you going to miss Twinkies? Is that going to be a bad thing for you?
I am. I'm not a heavy connoisseur anymore, but it's always been something that's kind of a staple, a fabric of American society. So it was real unfortunate to hear the news, and I guess it succumbed to so many business and economic conditions that have really plagued us over the last few years. So an untimely and unfortunate and premature demise.
Well, speaking of untimely and unfortunate, and let's hope it's not the demise, but Jay Cutler out for Monday night. We're talking with Jeff Kurtz of Bears Claws, and we're talking about the Chicago Bears and around the NFL. But Jay Cutler out for Monday. Jason Campbell's in. I don't have a lot of confidence in Jason Campbell. What are your thoughts? What are the fan base in Chicago saying about Jay Cutler being out maybe for up until playoff time?
Well, it's disappointing. This is kind of deja vu all over again, to quote a Yogi Berra euphemism. The same thing happened last year. The Bears were 7-3 and rolling, playing arguably the best football in the league. When he went down, was knocked out for the season with a thumb injury, and their backup at that time was Caleb Haney, who proved to be very ineffective, and the Bears stumbled down the stretch and missed the playoffs. This year, one of their first priorities in the offseason was to rectify that backup quarterback situation. They did sign Jason Campbell. I disagree with you to a certain extent. He's been a proven starting quarterback in the league. I think his experience and his poise under pressure will be a better attribute for the Bears than Caleb Haney. I think a lot of teams would like to have a solid backup like Jason Campbell. He's in a situation where he's on a one-year contract, so if he does play well in whatever opportunities, I look at it to be a one-game scenario, really. I think Jay Cutler will be back next week, but that's still to be determined. But if Campbell comes in and plays well, he could really set himself up for a nice contract. There would be teams stumbling all over themselves in the offseason to bring him in and give him another look as a starter. The deal with him, he's got a nice arm. He's mobile. He's not as the runner that Jay Cutler is, but I think in some situations he may be better at making decisions. He checks the ball down a lot. He won't throw it in bad positions. Sometimes Jay Cutler had a tendency to force the ball. So I think if the Bears, really the scenario for them is to be able to run the ball against San Francisco and get Matt Forte off the schneid. Their running game has not been very consistent this year for whatever reason, a variety of them. But if they can get a sound running game and then give Jason Campbell protection where that he can go to Brandon Marshall and also get some other guys involved in the offense and really use a play-action fake, they could be effective. So that's the recipe for success, and to have some success on first down as well. They haven't been a very good club on first down all year, and they've been put in some situations where it's been second and long frequently. So he has a chance now. The team he's going up against, that's a very strong defense. The teams are really mirror images, Tom, of one another. Tough, aggressive defenses. Both teams like to run the ball. Frank Gore for the 49ers, Matt Forte with the Bears. And they both have success in the passing game when they use the play-action fake. So it will be an interesting matchup. It's a tough situation. Campbell did have the luxury of having the full reps in practice this week, where last week he was kind of put in a situation where the backup all around the league really just gets mental reps. All the practice time goes to the starter. So I'm not sure that was a true indication of how he'll play, but They need him to manage the game and not turn the ball over. That's really what they're looking for.
Well, and I totally agree with you. And it's they're going to have a tough opponent against the San Francisco 49ers. I want to verge off the team for just a moment and talk about Mike Ditka. Obviously, we know that he suffered a very minor stroke while playing cards at a country club. I don't know if he was losing money or what, but apparently the doctor said, I know we shouldn't joke about that, but he did have a very minor stroke. The reports say he's doing fine. I guess he's going to skip this week on his football duties and take it easy at home there. What are your thoughts about this? And should we be alarmed or concerned about Mike Ditka?
Well, he's 73 years of age, and I know that he spoke to the Chicago Tribune briefly and told him it was no big deal. He was going to be fine. He appears to be resting comfortably. Mike Ditka is a legend and an icon in both pro football and in Chicago. Of course, from his playing days, a member of the 1963 Bears championship team to the 1985 Super Bowl team that he coached, he personifies toughness and grit and a lot of the cliches and stereotypes of Chicago and Chicago Bears football. So definitely we wish him the best. It doesn't appear to be anything serious since a heart attack he had in the mid-80s. And I don't know if you recall, Tom, but he was back a week later coaching after he sustained that heart attack. I think he's been in pretty good health other than he's had several hip replacement surgeries, but nothing to the extent the fact that he was talking afterwards and kind of joking around saying no big deal is a good indicator. But we all know once you get up in age that those health is something that you take for granted a little bit. And Thanksgiving time, I think we should all count our blessings if we have good health. And hopefully Mike Ditka will be recovered very quickly and back on our television and on our radio, because he's just one of those legendary figures and really a throwback to when football was a much simpler time, and yet personifies all the good characteristics that I think that the sport brings, and that's tough, competitor, hard-nosed, willing to do anything to win, and really wearing his emotions on his sleeves.
Oh, absolutely. You brought up some very good points. I do remember that. Actually, I think he was 49 or 50 years old, and he was back in the office 8 days later. And I remember his quote. He actually said heart attacks are an embarrassment, and that he was embarrassed by the heart attacks. And we know that you're right. He represents a time in our football history when people could play football, when they were encouraged. Of course, we're looking at Cutler and the concussions, and now everybody a concussion. Oh no, we don't even want to talk to you. Do you get that, doc? You got to go through a whole phase, which is a good thing. We look at
we look at
some very important Bears players who recently have. That they lost their life. I believe it was because of suicide. But bottom line, they said it, ultimately it was because of concussions. But the Bears made Dick, I believe, the fifth overall pick in 1961 in the draft. He's just been a part of the Chicago terrain ever since then, and he personifies what the NFL used to be and really what Chicago is, a blue-collar, hard-hitting, tough-as-nails individuals.
Yeah, the guy you were referring to, Dave Durison, I think that we take the injury situation, look at it from a more knowledgeable standpoint. I think we were naive back in those days. If you got injured, you taped it up, took an aspirin, and got back in the game. And thankfully, we've grown a little bit in our knowledge of how injuries can impact a person, not only in the present time, but many years in the future. So we're a little more deliberate and take more precautions these days, which I think is a good thing. But, definitely he was a great football player in his own right had a terrific career as a head coach as well. And just wish that and hope that everything's fine and that he'll be back in action talking about football here very soon.
I hope so. Well, let's talk real quickly about Monday night's game. We've got also joining us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. We're going to get into some Colts conversation and some fantasy football talk. I know we've got you till 10:20, but you're more than welcome to stay around. Let's talk about the Bears and San Francisco. Obviously, two of the toughest teams in the NFC. That's with both of their respective quarterbacks. Obviously, Jay Cutler's out. Jason Campbell's in against a 49ers team that might end up starting back up Kander pick as well if Alex Smith can't go. So really, we're looking at two of the toughest teams in the NFC, possibly without their quarterbacks, both of them. We know that the Chicago isn't going to do that. How big of a gameplay and a game change in preparation is Chicago Bears having to do against a very, very tough San Francisco 49ers?
Well, I think the natural reaction is that you become a little bit more conservative. Again, I think that they'll try to run the ball more and establish the ground game and not be take as many chances down the field, although with Brandon Marshall, I think that he definitely has to figure into the game plan. So I look for the Bears to try to run the ball. They've got kind of a two-headed attack with not only Matt Forte, but you might see Michael Bush get some more carries against a very athletic and active 49er defense, spearheaded by a couple of linebackers in Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman that are quick, fast, instinctive to the ball. So it's definitely going to be a challenge. It's a shame that both teams may be forced to go with a backup, although Friday indications, Jim Harbaugh and the San Francisco staff were very noncommittal about whether Alex Smith, he was cleared for non-contact practice work, so noncommittal on his status. He may start, but I have a feeling that they may play it safe and give Colin Kaepernick the start. If so, he is more athletic than Smith. He's a better runner. I think that's a tough matchup for him to go up against a Bears defense that's opportunistic, to say the least. And I think that they'll go again with a more conservative attack if Kaepernick is in there. If Smith plays, again, Frank Gore is their main ingredient. But they'll do a lot of play action, try to get the ball downfield, try to suck in the Bears linebackers. Vernon Davis will be a huge target down the middle of the seam, and the Bears will be challenged to cover him. Also, Michael Crabtree has proven to be a pretty effective receiver as of late. Maybe the light bulb is going off for him finally. So I think that I expect a tough defensive battle, much like the game that the Bears and Texans played Sunday night in Chicago. The weather conditions, I would hope and anticipate, would be a little better than they were in Chicago on Sunday. But I would see a fairly low-scoring game, close to the vest, both teams well-coached. It means a lot. San Francisco kind of stumbled last week against St. Louis in a game that really shouldn't have been that close, that they should have been able to win pretty handily. The Bears can really not afford to have a two-game slide here. They've got a game advantage over Green Bay and the NFC North and a game and a half over Minnesota, but they want to get back on track and stay within that striking distance of Atlanta for the top seed in the NFC.
All right, Jeff Kurtz of Bears Calls. Hey, Jeff, we got to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk some NBA, Colts, and fantasy football. Do you want to hang around, or do you got to go?
I would love to, but I'm going to take a rain check on that and catch up with you next time.
Well, what I'd like to hear from you is, what are you most thankful for, and where can people find your work and your masterpieces?
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity for good health, for friends, family. That's something that I have a little more perspective on as the years go by. And folks can find Bears Claws at bearsclaws.com, also on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, buddy. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to be talking some NBA with $2 Bill Josh. We're going to be talking about the Indianapolis Colts, and Fantasy Football Huddle is right around the corner, guys. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Over the course course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
All right, welcome back to the Balance My Minions for the final half hour of the show. We're going to be breaking down some NBA, the Colts, and of course, fantasy football huddle. You never know who's going to join us. I tell you what, that today is the debut of Gangnam Style. Oh, you know, I'm going to do that dance. It's my new song, boys. That's it. The new Al Presidente dance. I'm going to get a cam here in the studio so that everybody can see it. I'm going to stream it. Love that song. Love it. Let's hear it some more. All right. Got to get back down to business. I'll tell you what. That song gets you going. Josh, can you do that dance? That's what I want to know.
No, but I heard you're going to do it for us tonight at the Balanced Thanksgiving party.
Yeah, no. I'm going to watch you guys do it. I think Michelle, our social media director, is going to do it. That's right. We got the Balanced Thanksgiving party tonight. We're going to eat tonight. We get to eat once a year. All right, Joshua, I want to talk with you about these Pacers. Impressive win last night, so we got to go a little easy on it. No, we're going to go hard on them because here's the thing. It's about dang time the Indiana Pacers won a game. Josh, break it down for us, my friend.
Well, the Indiana Pacers have really struggled on offense this year. They're not moving the ball. They're standing around. George Hill's not being a typical point guard. He's hanging on to the ball. I've seen Frank Vogel checking out the hot blonde over there in Section 3, Row 2, more than he's actually checking out the action on the floor. I've just not been impressed, and they're completely underperforming. And if Mike Brown's going to get fired after 5 games, why aren't the Indiana Pacers thinking about a coaching change? Tom, I know you've never been sold on Vogel. You like Vogel, but you've never thought he was the man.
Well, here's the thing. I like Frank Vogel, yes. I've had an opportunity to meet him and talk with him, and great guy. But I look at situations again. Let's just talk about that Milwaukee Buck game. To me, they shouldn't have ever been in that situation to begin with. And then they could have probably won it, but they slacked off. Now, we did have a pretty good, impressive win last night, 103-83, biggest win they've had all year long against the Mavericks. And I tell you what, they really used a very strong third quarter to put an end to their two-game losing streak. And I guess maybe we've just gotten used to the Pacers from last year and what they were able to do, and we're looking at two completely different teams. But you know what? I give all the credit to David West and George Hill. Each scored 15 points to help the Pacers beat the Mavericks last night. But so we got people stepping up, and there's still time. So I don't know that I'm on that bandwagon to dismiss Frank Vogel just yet. What I am saying is Frank Vogel's got to look at his team because something – there's a chemistry problem somewhere, and he's got to find it, and he's got to fix it.
I completely agree with that, and I'm not saying get rid of Vogel yet. See, in the offseason, and we talked about this on the show before the season started, Paul George went around saying he wants to be an all-star. Most NBA players want to be all-stars. The problem for Paul George is to be an all-star, you have to be able to create your own shot. Paul George cannot create his own shot because he cannot handle the basketball. Anytime he tries, if you see Paul George bringing the ball down the floor, odds are it's going to be a turnover. He's not good at handling the basketball. Not to mention you pay Rory Hibbert $58 million and he's averaging 8 points. Tom, you could average 8 points in the NBA and you don't need $58 million.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, brother. Trust me, I need $58 million. Well, let's walk around the NBA here real quickly because I do want to get in to some Colts talk. Obviously, big game against the Patriots this week. Loving it. Brady, Luck, 6-3. Yeah, that's what we call a teaser. We're going to get back to that. I want to talk about some NBA. Obviously, we don't have MLB, and the great thing about the balance here, guys, we're going to give you a full balance of everything. And we bring $2 Bill Josh on. $2 Bill Josh is strangely, religiously obsessed with NBA, so we're just going to let him go with it here and talk with us about the NBA. So, Josh, take us a walk around the NBA, who's hot and who's not.
Well, last night, the Grizzlies handed the New York Knicks their first loss by 15 points. Memphis is 7-1 and has the best record in the NBA. New York Knicks are also 7-1, but seeing how Memphis beat New York right now, you'd have to say Memphis is the best team in the NBA. They've also beat Oklahoma City and Miami this week. Not a bad week for the Memphis Grizzlies. Detroit Pistons are 1-9. Washington Wizards are 0-10, the two worst teams in the NBA. Tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m., NBA TV. Tune in as Mike D'Antoni is going to make his Los Angeles Lakers coaching debut against my Houston Rockets, who are the youngest team in the league, but they're 4-5, and they look really good. And for those of you who tune into the Balance website, I'm not going to go into the whole blog. I'm just going to tell you to go to www.thebalanceonline.com and read the blog we released on Wednesday about the Lakers hiring of D'Antoni.
Absolutely, and I know $2 Bill Josh, we're going to have every week, we're going to have the $2 take on the NBA, and you need to go there, www.thebalanceonline.com. Guys, make sure you're also following us on Twitter. We do this every week. You should have it down. If you're not following us on Twitter, you need to be doing that. And the fact that you're not even on Twitter, that puts you in a whole other category of loser. All the chicks will dig you, man. I'm going to tell you what. If you're a chick and you're on The Balance and you're following The Balance on Twitter, dudes will dig you. I'm just saying for all you single people out there. Chicks will dig you. Dudes will dig you. Everybody's digging everybody when you go to The Balance Online. Follow us on Twitter, of course, Facebook, and our sister company. And we do a lot of coverage of the Pacers and the Colts, IndyProSports.com. Guys, well, we got to jump right into it. It is Fantasy Football Huddle.
Welcome back. You like that nonsense?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
Weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. It was chillier last Sunday. Absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out. It's bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
Coming down now.
Stay warm over here. Hey, stay warm over here now. It's cold. It's raining.
Brad, this wind is stronger than we've ever had. I mean, it'll blow you sideways.
I think I got gangrene in my toes, man. I can't even feel them no more. I've been frostbite, not gangrene, folks.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Hey, guys, you know what? We're solo for a while. Just you and I, some intimate time. I know $2 Bill Josh had a lot going on. Who knows? Everybody's got something going on. But hopefully Sparky's going to be calling us. We never know who's going to call us to talk some fantasy football. But it is time for Fantasy Football Huddle. 917-889-8516. Give me a call. Let's talk. Let's talk about your lineup, who to set, who to let go of. You know, this is the time of year where you guys have really need to chuck every – sometimes you need to just redo your whole team from start. In fact, that's probably what we might be doing soon with our social media directors team. Maybe not Eli Manning. She's kind of stuck on Eli. I don't understand the love affair there between her and Eli Manning. But, hey, whatever your reason is for holding on to your players, look at one thing. Can they get you in the playoffs? Do you have the ability to get into the playoffs with them? And, you know, this is the time of year where we start talking about playoffs. And that's right. I every time I say the word playoffs –
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
I love it. Classic bit by Jim Mora. Playoffs? What do you mean playoffs? But we talk about the Indianapolis Colts, and they really do have that opportunity. You know, we look at what's happening this weekend with the Indianapolis Colts. They're going into Gillette Stadium. Andrew Luck for the very first time. A lot of the guys for the very first time have never played the New England Patriots. Probably very, very easy for them to become starstruck. Oh, wait, there's Tom Brady. Probably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and certainly in that argument, in that conversation with Peyton Manning. But the future is also on that field, Mr. Andrew Luck. You know, we look at some of the things that Luck has been able to do and put together. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I was not immediately sold and in love in drinking the Andrew Luck Kool-Aid. I like Andrew Luck. I think he's a great quarterback. But now that he's here and he's settled, and I've been able to see him on some interviews on local TV, and I've been able to see him on a more on one-on-one basis, I like Andrew Luck. He does remind me a lot of Peyton Manning. The way he carries himself professionally, personally, the way he is on the field. You know, maybe we do have another Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's certainly doing his own thing out there in Denver, and we miss him here in Indianapolis. But at the same time, Peyton Manning isn't coming back to Indianapolis. Andrew Luck is the future of the Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, Tom Brady has proven himself there in New England. This is a game that nobody expects them to win. So literally, the Indianapolis Colts can go into Foxborough and say, you know, we don't have to win this game. We don't have to try. But that's not the Colts that we're seeing this year. And if you looked at my blog, you take a little bit of Chuck Pagano, a little bit of Andrew Luck, and a lot of teamwork, and you've been able to get to 6-3. And that, my friends, is huge. Especially if you would have told me last season or at the beginning of this season, hey, guys, on Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving, the Colts, the Patriots, both 6-3, Brady, Luck. I'd have laughed you right out of here. I'd have said, man, I don't know what that is. You're smoking and joking, but it isn't. Something's messing with your brain. But we look at that, the factors, and that's exactly what's happened. We look at some really good questions about the Colts, and I wish we had time to really get into that because I do want to get into some fantasy football, and I do want to talk about what's going on in the lineups with fantasy football. But I also want to talk about one of the biggest games of the week, the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Meet for the first time of being 6-3 in a long time. So let's look at some of the questions that I have developed about this game. Antoine Bethea looks like a good player on tape, but how are the Colts going to cover the Patriots with Darius Butler, Tom Zukoski, Vaughn, and Josh Gordy?
Well, good question. I thought so. That's why I ask it. I think probably everybody's been, you know, I read, you know, Philip B. Wilson's a good friend of the show, been on here numerous times, and obviously a beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. He's been asking the very same questions. Here's the answers, I guess, you know, that we look at. The best guess is to rush five with Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis at OLB and drop the rest back into coverage, giving up the underneath stuff and trying to force Tom Brady to take what's given to be an opposed throwing line. Here's the thing. They have to stop Tom Brady. The defense has to show up on Sunday to stop Tom Brady. And if they can't stop Tom Brady and the New England Patriot offense, they're not going to win this game. Again, nobody expects them to win, but how huge would it be for the Colts to finish tomorrow at 7-3? So let's look at another question. Who is the one Colts player most Patriots fans don't know about right now, but will by the end of the game on Sunday? Well, the answer is very, very, very simple. Inside linebacker Terrell Freeman. He's the Colts' leading tackler with 73 total stops. That's according to NFL.com. Not making this stuff up, my minions. Go check it out. But even in Indianapolis are still asking who he is. Here in Indianapolis, they're saying, who is Terrell Freeman? The first-year pro was thought to be a backup linebacker at best. And he's came in and filled the role. That goes to that whole teamwork thing with the Indianapolis Colts got going on. He's led the Colts in tackles in every game but one. Again, according to NFL.com. Go check it out. It's right there. Question number three. What's the biggest weakness on the Colts offense you expect the Patriots to try to exploit? Well, obviously, Andrew Luck. Let's get to Andrew Luck. Let's stop Andrew Luck. And we can win this game. Like anything else. Like before. Like I was saying, got to stop Tom Brady. Got to stop Andrew Luck. The Patriots were very, very good at stopping Peyton Manning. Extremely good at stopping Peyton Manning. So you look at the struggles that we've had. So what's the biggest weakness on the Colts defense that the Patriots can get to? We don't have a consistent pass rush. We don't have our secondary is exposed. So you just got to look at our safeties. They've got to go in there and do their job. And here's the thing. I think the Colts can win on Sunday. There's a lot of reasons why I think the Colts can win on Sunday. Not just because I'm a Colts fan. Not just because I'm going to be wearing that jersey. The Colts can win if they get the pressure on Brady early and keep it going. They need to force turnovers. And the thing is, they need to get a lead and maintain a lead. And Luck needs to rely on Reggie Wayne, Dwayne Allen, and my new favorite, Ty Hilton. So there's a lot going for the Colts right now. The Colts can win this game. You know, so, guys, we gotta jump into some fantasy talk. That's what y'all come here to do anyway. I play this every year when the Pats and the Colts meet. But we'll get over to the fan. But I was like, you know, I got to do this. And I got my Thanksgiving video to make as well. And I'm going to share it online. Don't worry. It'll be on thebalanceonline.com. It'll be on our Twitter. It'll be on my Facebook. It'll be on our fan pages. And I make a video every Thanksgiving. And those minions, if you know, it's there. Humorous? Yes. Ridiculous? Yes. But, hey, we do it every year. And here's something else we do every year. We play the Pats. Fat song. Patriots fight song. You know that the Colts are going to be hearing that loud and very loud as they go into Foxborough on Sunday. And I tell you what, it's one of the biggest rivalries in the NFL. And Colts fans and Pats fans all unite. I know we have a lot of Patriots fans that listen to this show on my Facebook. They love their Patriots. We love our Colts. I guarantee you one thing. When the Colts go in Foxborough for the very first time, Andrew Luck's going to hear. I tell you what, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to be in Foxborough. It is awesome. I will say that. It is a marvel of NFL greatness. I have had that unique opportunity to be in that game. And you know, as loud as that is, that's just very, very micro. And this is an outdoor stadium. And everybody in the stands sing the song. And it is loud. You would think they were in a dome team. It is that loud. And the Patriots use their home field advantage. There's only one other home team that I think that's probably just equally as good or maybe better, and that's Lambeau Field. So the Patriots got their work. I mean, the Colts have their work cut out for them. Will they be able to do it? I think so. And, you know, so we will certainly find out tomorrow afternoon. But you know what? Here's the thing. We win either which way. If they don't win, we say, well, they weren't expected to win that anyway. We're in the rebuilding years. If they do win, nobody's going to stop talking about playoffs. Playoffs? That's right. Nobody's going to stop talking. And you're going to be hearing this on every national talk show.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
All right, guys, we got to get into the fantasy football huddle. You know, and I was hoping that we'd have some of our crew join us. I don't know. Maybe I need to shower a little bit more, but that's okay, guys. You worship me. I am El Presidente. You are the minions. I am El Presidente. Come pay homage to me because you're gonna thank me for your fantasy football advice or the demise of it. You know, really, seriously, take your time and do your own research, you know. But it is the time to really start focusing in on your fantasy football. You know, I make jokes about Michelle, our producer here at the Bounce. But we couldn't make it without her. But she wanted to have her own league. We offered her help. We did. We offered her help. And she's like, no, I don't want any help. I don't want any help. And she wanted Eli Manning, and she's got Eli Manning. But she's in last place. I'll put it that way. And I don't know that we can pull her out of it. But we're going to hopefully take some time pull her out of the mix. Well, guys, let's talk about this. We got some very, very key injuries going in to week 11. And this is huge, huge information. Ben Roethlisberger, not going to play. Not going to play at all. We're talking about concussions with Ben Roethlisberger. We're also talking about the rib issue. So he's not going to be out. So, guys, if you're counting on Ben Roethlisberger for your playoffs, it's time that you drop him, possibly pick up another one. Also, we just talked about it with Jeff Kurtz of Bears Claws. Jay Cutler out with the Chicago Bears. Guys, Monday night, you got plenty of time. I know a lot of people have him on their fantasy league and on their fantasy starting team. Jake has got to be benched. You need to put him on your IR. We heard Jeff say that there is a possibility that he'll be back. I'm not saying that he won't be. I'm saying he won't be there Monday. So make sure you bench him in. And Alex Smith is way, way, way too of a doubt for me as a conservative player for that to happen. So I wouldn't play Alex Smith either. Obviously, we talk about Michael Vick and Ben Roethlisberger as well. All of these guys have issues with freaky injuries. Big Ben, obviously, I just talked about it. They're forcing their fantasy owners to scramble and add their backups. Jason Campbell? Guys, come on. get rid. What about Brian Leverage? Leftwich. Here's the thing. Steer clear of Allie Smith, Jay Cutler, Michael Vick, Ben Roethlisberger, and their backups. Steer clear. Guys, go on out there, do your research, get you a good, solid quarterback to take you through the playoffs. If you want to talk about your fantasy lineup, give me a call, 917-889-8516. I'll walk you through your lineup and tell you, hey, do you have a good lineup or not? Make sure you let me know if you're on a PPR league or what type of league that you're on. So let's talk about some of my big tips. And I always keep going back to Eli Manning. And you know, like I said, Eli Manning's a very popular quarterback. We know that other people around the Balance studio like Eli Manning. But this has just been a rotten stretch for Eli Manning over the past three games. He has 10 points, and we use ESPN, so we'll just use that as their standard scoring. He has 10 points in ESPN standard scoring total. Well, you know, I don't know. I'm not overly impressed with Eli Manning, and I don't know what fantasy owners should do at this point. At best, I'm benching him. There's some pretty good matchups coming up, especially up in Week 14 against New Orleans, a playoff week in many leagues. So you might want to put him back a little bit. Obviously, I wouldn't say get rid of him, but I just would look at some of your other options. Eli Manning is just not sold me this year on fantasy football. Let's look at some of the running back situation. We just talked about the New England Patriots, Stephen Ridley with the England Patriots. And you look at a lot of the different fantasy football columns, which I do, but that's because I'm El Presidente, and I'm supposed to do that for you. But it's out there. You can find it. I don't have secret access going on. I don't have access to David Petraeus's fantasy football files. Would have been something. All these thousands of emails they find him and they say, dang, I should have played Ben Roethlisberger. Would have been great. Would have been classic. Stephen Ridley of the New England Patriots, in this week's, he's been in a lot of different columns. And, you know, Fantasy Foresight is one of the ones that talk about and about Stephen Ridley. And I like him. I think you should go ahead and play him. Maureen Joestreu, Jacksonville. I tell you what, I just totally amaze myself of the greatness that I have on this show. I make you happy, happy, happy. You know, we were talking with Walter Cox earlier. On his profile picture on Facebook, he's got the guy from Duck Dynasty. I want the Duck Guy Dynasty on this show. I'm going to get Michelle on it. She's gonna do it. Maurice Joestreu, guys, running back, Jacksonville Jaguars, on the opposite end of the spectrum. MJD and the extension of Rashad Jennings. The Jags have the Titans twice, the Bills and the Jets on the schedule down the stretch, and all of those teams have had some issues stopping the run. So Maurice Joestreu, good runner. We know that he did some damage, and I tell you what, I am glad that he wasn't on the roster when we played Jacksonville and able to pull that win off a few weeks ago here in Indianapolis. Maurice Joestreu is a dangerous weapon. He needs to be on your team. And here's some little nuggets for you guys on your fantasy football. You know, it's kind of hard to do buy, sell, trade when I'm doing the solo act. If I known I was going to be doing the solo act, I would have brought in a bottle of Jergens or something here. Come on, guys. I know. We have female listeners. This is a family show. But I got some nuggets for you. I do have some nuggets for you. Carson Palmer, quarterback, Oakland Raiders. Here's the thing. The Raiders have not won either of the past 2 weeks. Palmer has been preferably firing on all cylinders. I talked about Carson Palmer last week, and he had a great game last week as well. I would continue to go on his momentum and on his strength. If you're looking, you're talking about looking for a quarterback earlier, I don't know that Carson Palmer is out there. There's a lot of people that might be willing to trade. He's a good trade pickup. Let's look at Josh Freeman with Tampa Bay. I personally picked him up a few weeks ago. Why? Because I'm smart like that. I eat my Twinkies. I'm going to get me a live supply of Twinkies, by the way. You should get out there and do that, too, while they're getting still good. Before little Debbie takes over the ding-dongs. My minions, you're letting me at my own demise today. And so you know what that means. Idle hands is a devil's playground, isn't that what they say? Well, Josh Freeman, quarterback with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously a product of Kansas State. We were talking about Kansas State earlier on. Has been on quite a tear of late. Going back to week 6, he's put up fantasy point totals 23, 29, 22, and 17, and 16 points. However, this week, he and the Bucs take on the Carolina Panthers team. Now, the Panthers have a very, very solid pass defense. So here's what I would say. I like Josh Freeman. I like him a lot. And he's allowing the 10th fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. Freeman himself was limited to 138 yards passing and one touchdown in their week 1 matchup this season. I am very, very nervous about playing Freeman against the Carolina Panthers. Again, that's just a nugget for you. Take it for what it's worth. And I'm here to set your lineup for you, minions. I'm your El Presidente for a reason. So let's talk. 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. I do just so happen to have a phone line open. It's funny how that works out. Guys, you know, here's a couple of wide receivers that I like. Both of them with the Dallas Cowboys. Splitting carries. Dez Bryant, Miles Austin. The matchup for the Cowboys against Cleveland this week is already a strong. Come on. The Browns. You can't beat the Browns. Well, that's a whole nother problem that you have. Texas A&M could beat the Browns. Texas A&M could beat Jacksonville. Texas A&M could beat Alabama. Well, that's right, they did. My ADD is going to kick in here any minute now, fellas. Let's do talk a little bit about the injury reports. Talk about Notre Dame. You know, obviously a product of Notre Dame, Brady Quinn. I like Brady. You know, I thought, you know, he was the – coming out in when he – well, everybody thought he was going to be number one. Didn't know he was going to end up being 6 or 7. But apparently the NFL scouts know a lot more than we do. Because he's not proven himself to be that great of a quarterback. Guys, if you got Brady Quinn, he's got injury issues and stuff. Get rid of him. Quinn is still dealing with the after effects of a concussion. We talked about the dangers of concussions. And any time a concussion is pointed out on a player, the NFL is saying, no, we are steering clear of that. And we don't want anything to do with that. So all I'm saying is if you got Brady Quinn, you need to get rid of him. Let's look at some of the other injuries. That Rashad Mendenhall, running back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, Mendenhall appears to be back this week and right back at his old spot as the Steelers starter. However, I am very, very, very concerned about Rashad Mendenhall not being able to practice and getting his timing right with the quarterback. Remember, Ben Roethlisberger didn't practice this week. So I am very, very concerned about playing Rashad Mendenhall. Even though he is back, don't play him. Set him. DeMarco Murray, running back with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, again, you know, all of this is out there, my minions. You can find it just like I can. But you guys come to me for your wealth of knowledge, and that's what I'm here for. You just come to me. Come to El Presidente. The buzz on Murray is that he's on the cusp of returning with 2 games in 5 days coming up. I like him, but don't get too over anxious with him. That's for sure. Well, guys, it's been our Thanksgiving special. Man, time does fly. Kind of like turkeys on Thanksgiving, right?
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
The
Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
Me.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.